Well done, Dr. Crane. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Dr. Crane doing some good producing today because the hip drop tackle has been banned from the National Football League. That was very good.
Turkey chirp real quick. Yeah.
Nice. This was a courtesy of Joe Dubin.
Okay.
Recommendation.
You take the credit, buddy.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, who joins us every Monday at this time on the program. Hut, what's up? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with the big news that came Friday evening. We all saw the notifications that the Titans were closing in on a trade for L'Jarius Sneed, not giving up a whole lot to get his services. Obviously, they're going to have to pay him, but it seems like the rumors I've seen of what the money is, even though he's going to enjoy it, it's not an awful cap hit. What do you make of the move and how that helps the Titans secondary?
Yeah, I mean, the three-pack now of the starting corners, a tremendous upgrade on paper compared to what we saw last year. And, you know, the Roger McCreary now, who plays is primarily playing inside. That's where they want him to play. They now have two corners with length on the outside that can then step up and play aggressive, especially with L'Jarius Sneed. And look, I think they're playing the type of coverage and signing some players that Wilson wants in his secondary. And compared to what they had versus what they do have, I think it's just, again, early indications, job well done by the offseason plan, even if they missed out on some players that they were trying to go after, ending up with Ridley and then Sneed. It's a good base for what is more than just one off season. You know, I'd caution to overreact to what they've done. But in the NFL, especially when you have some money to spend, as long as you go out and you identify the players are going to help you and they do that, you get the return on investment. You're one step closer and in some cases, 2 or 3 years ahead. That mainly comes through the draft. You know, the supplements happen through free agency. They need to hit and hit a few homers in this draft, especially with the amount of picks they currently hold.
Going into this offseason, you know, I kind of looked with everything they were losing and, you know, you got a new coach in here and now Rand Carthon taking over. I mean, I was basically going, all right, this team might be a 3 or 4, maybe 5 win team, something like that. Now that free agency, the bulk of free agency is done, obviously I still think there's a couple of, you know, post-draft signings that could take place, cuts, all that, and then you have the draft. I would say right now I still probably put them in the 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range. How do you view, and I agree with you, this is more than one offseason. It's an improvement, but you got to be patient here. Where do you kind of put them now when it comes to, you know, how many wins they could have pre-draft before you go through that process?
Well, I like the opportunity that they have. Look, there are a lot of ifs and unknowns with that, Chase, to this point. They need left tackle badly. They've got a hit on that. Yeah. And that needs to be that is a priority. You can look at the holes across this roster. They still have those gaps. They have filled more to this point now, and that's why you get a longer-term contract at corner with Sneed compared to what we're seeing on the free agent market, where there's not a free agent with a longer contract than 3 years this offseason so far. The returns have been mixed on some of the free agent signings at corner in recent years, up and down play, but it's still a league that where you've got to have your top guy. I mean, look around to the top corners and see who they're covering and see how those defenses have been. There's a lot of money allocated moving forward on defense. I don't mind that, given the fact that it's led by Jeffrey Simmons up front. He needs to continue to play like a top paid defensive tackle in the NFL, and they need to add more there. They need left tackle. They need another young wide receiver and inside backer, safety as well. There are still gaps to fill here that lead me to say it's still undetermined where they are in terms of prediction. They have the opportunity to trade back potentially at pick 7, pick up more draft capital and use that to their advantage, Chase. But look, I like the plan as it has unfolded. And, you know, you have Callahan at the coaches' meetings, the owners' meetings, saying that, you know, Ridley was in a position for them where they had allocated other money for other players to see how things panned out. And when those players signed elsewhere, it allowed them to go more, be more aggressive in the deal towards Calvin Ridley. Even their secondary option versus what they had allocated for other players, I like the direction that they ended up with. And, you know, again, it's been hit or miss with the Titans in free agency. I like the plan that they've laid out because it's a good base. But overall, you got to protect the quarterback, and Will Levis has to step up and play. And Callahan's calling plays for the first time. There are a lot of just a lot of intangibles that we have yet to actually see unpack.
Oh, 100%. Talking to Jonathan Hutton this morning. Jonathan, this just came a little while ago. Denver, you know this. You've covered the team for long enough that draft day, nothing ever goes according to plan, ever. And now there's reports that Denver
right.
might be, along with Minnesota, very active in moving up and grabbing a quarterback. So the Titans want to get their number 7 pick. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens 4, 5, 6 before them. For the Chargers at 5, the Giants at 6, what goes on? It's going to be all interesting, but if all this plays out, I mean, they got to get that left tackle, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and if we're talking aggressive at quarterback in the draft, Joe, I mean, what does Arizona do at 4? You know, it doesn't sound like Washington wants to back out at 2. New England, no, they don't. It doesn't sound like they want to back out at 3. It's got to be an offer that just blows people away. Same thing I would guess for Marvin Harrison Jr., but that would be another player that teams would be clamoring for to trade up for, would be my guess. And if that's how it unfolds, Joe, Titans could theoretically still trade back and end up with one of the top two left tackles, and specifically end up with Joe Alt. Even in some of the mock drafts I've seen, guys have the Titans trading back and still ending up with Alt. It never goes according to plan, but you can still end up with a premier player, an elite player, that's a non-quarterback, and end up gaining more draft picks along the way. Of course, they gave up one of their 7th rounders and swapped it, I should say, with Kansas City, but no gain really there overall. They need more top 100 if they can get it. Right now, they don't have those picks. There's just a couple of them. So that's where the value is, and what is a top-heavy first round and a top-heavy top 100 overall compared to the rest of these picks, where I think in years past, the talent pool has been more even through rounds like 3 through 5, 3 through 5.5, 6. And I don't get that sense this year, talking to a couple of people that have really dug into a lot of these picks. I think the talent pool is top heavy overall. And I think that's the value here. And maybe some teams do want to trade back and take advantage of that. The Titans are one of them. And where they pick at 7 compared to where some of these other teams are, like Minnesota, for instance.
Right.
If you're Denver, you want to get ahead of that, especially if the quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3 and the teams aren't going to move. And you like McCarthy, for instance, or if McCarthy is a shock to someone or they're in love with J.J. McCarthy and you end up with a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May that is the 4th quarterback, I'd be stunned. But – again, we've seen crazier things happen, and that's where your value really ticks up. The Titans aren't going to get much in return unless it's for a quarterback and probably the 4th one that people would be clamoring for.
Oh, absolutely. You've done this a long time, like Chase and I have as well, that you're not going to hit on all your free agents pickups, right? You're not – all of them aren't going to hit. What's the percentage you'd like to see of the 6 guys that we think they've signed so far? What's a good percentage? You like to see 4 of those hit? Because theoretically, it's going to be maybe 3 at most. But if they can get 4 of these guys to really hit, do you consider that a win, Jonathan?
Yes, but it as long as 2 of them are Snead and Ridley, that's where their money's invested, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That those guys need to be hits. That's where they have missed out in years past. Now, some of those picks or some of those signings, I should say, Joe, in years past have been like the quote-unquote go-for-it moves, right? Where you have maybe they're going for it at wide receiver or they're going for it with Clowney, for instance. These guys are more long-term contracts, younger players that have to be the core of their roster because of the money allocated. So I'd say that those two have to be a part of your 4-pack if you're saying that. Beyond that, you'd like to see Pollard be a hit at running back, but they, to me, Spears is still moving forward, going to be your guy in mind. And again, I'm looking at just the money allocated and thinking to myself, well, there's two guys that Carthon has to make sure that are consistent players week in and week out, barring injury, which always goes unsaid, that consistently show up and produce for this football team. And it's L'Jarius Sneed, who did that in Kansas City, has progressively improved his overall play to where he's now getting his payday. And Calvin Ridley, who, you know, by all accounts, comes in super focused very aware about where he was versus where he is and what type of role he's going to have to play. So success will be judged on that, because they went after receiver and corner, not a great free agent crop at left tackle. And again, they're pairing that with a new regime and a new outlook on what this team is going to be built as and the structure will look like. All of that's important moving forward compared to what they did last year in this time of year, where it just felt one foot in, one foot out. This is a very different feel, a very different direction compared to a year ago.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. Real quick, the Vols advanced to the Sweet 16 for the third time.
Yeah.
Under Rick Barnes. Not going to be an easy one against Creighton, but I do feel like Tennessee should be the better team. What's your early take on that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I think that's the best matchup of the Sweet 16, honestly. I love the way the matchup kind of looks right now versus the way Creighton has looked. They've been on fire. Tennessee, you know, they can't – showing that they can win that type of game with that lack of offense the other night, that's big. Now, they can't shoot like that again, and I'm not going to pick them to win the game if they shoot like that again, Chase. But the fact they won that game and Dalton Kinect played that like that, and you don't see him normally have back-to-back games shooting like that. This is going to be a great game in Detroit. You know, they've got the other game too with Gonzaga playing at Purdue in that too. So look, I can't wait for the weekend in Detroit. I think Tennessee is the better team top to bottom. I think Creighton is built to win this time of year as well. And the winner of that is going to give a great push to Purdue, who is, I mean, they've looked like the team through two games. They look like the focus team. Rick Barnes, I think that's a big hump for him, getting over Texas and doing it like that. I like Tennessee's chances. I do, because I don't think Dalton Kinect plays like he did this past weekend on Saturday in back-to-back weeks. And I think the Vols will be focused going into the Sweet 16, which is where the expectation has been. And I said with Caroline Willie and D. Mace a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, to me the bar is just getting to the Elite Eight and facing Purdue and see what happens there, where we've seen these two teams face off earlier in the season, Chase. And we saw how close that game was.
You got Chase's attention when you mentioned bar. So, well done.
That is
the bar.
Sure.
The bar.
Right. For sure. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. Buddy. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joining us every Monday at 10:30. Come back. Edward was at the MTSU women's basketball game against LSU. We'll get your call on that, plus celebrity birthdays and more. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.